This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, we have conquered this week. Life is good. Put a smile on your face. And man, oh man, are we going to have a good time tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show, because it's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I asked and you delivered. What kind of things are we going to talk about? Well, buckle up. The BAR, old World War II machine gun. What do I think about it? Data centers, Trump, the Iranians. We have questions about divorce, ice cream, you name it. We are up, down, left, right, all over the map tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. So sit back, put a smile on your face, and raise a fist.
I don't want the Michigan hand after your August primary. I want the Michigan fist. I want that Michigan fist.
Raise your fist. It's time for a Friday show. Now, before we get into the questions, well, I guess this is getting into the questions, because I got a bunch of questions about this story about the soldier who got arrested. I'm sure you were well aware of the story. 30-second recap in case you are not. Some guy, United States soldier, involved with special operations. He was involved heavily with the Maduro raid in Venezuela. He, apparently this online gambling thing is just enormous now, not just sports gambling. People bet on anything, predictions, just random predictions about anything. Apparently this soldier took a chunk of cash, 30, 40 grand, placed a wager right before he goes in, places some kind of a wager that says, I think Maduro is going to get removed from power. And wins 400 grand. And he gets busted. Gets arrested. Can't do that kind of a thing. And I got a lot of questions, a lot of comments on it. A lot of people are really mad. What's he doing? A lot of people are saying, let him go. You want to know my thoughts? Here they are. First of all, let's just get this little disclaimer out of the way. It's a dumb thing to do, not just because it's illegal, for operational security purposes, it can be a dumb thing to do. If you are a capable country, like the first world, let me explain, these capable countries, these first world countries, like us, China, these kind of countries, they monitor now these prediction markets to see if there are strange bets on things, because it can give something away if there is. If you're monitoring the prediction markets and all of a sudden you see a fairly large bet come in from Houston, Texas, that the Jesse Kelly Show is going to fire one of its producers and hire a new one, that might be a clue, and someone might get a hold of Chris and say, hey, buddy, I think you might have a problem. You see what I mean? So it is dumb. And for operational security reasons, it's not great. Do I care? No, not one little bit. And let me explain. If you're mad about that, it is what it is. I'm about to explain myself. I've lamented on this before, but I'm going to come back to it again, of oftentimes people's view of war and warriors and the military and things like that comes from Hollywood. It comes from movies. And when we think about soldiers, incredibly brave, wonderful soldiers, we think about them as these almost perfect human beings. Historically, because we admired things like World War II veterans, the Marines storming the beaches of Iwo Jima. Surely they were all great guys, right? Weren't they? They didn't drink, didn't smoke, chase women around, get in fights. They didn't do that stuff, right? They're all what? They're all Captain America. Perfect teeth, never cuss, hair's always in the right place. Yes, ma'am, no, sir. It's a very Hollywood depiction of the warrior class. So I'll tell you this, you can love it, you can hate it. I have known over my 44 years, because of my various travels, I have known many pipe hitter types. By saying pipe hitter, I'm talking about super soldier types, cops. I'm talking real street cops who go out there and mix it up. Agents. I've known a lot of these types of guys. And I'm here to give you a truth that you may not like. There's a little criminal in all of them. They all have a little criminal inside of them. I'm not saying they all are criminals. That's not what I'm saying. Not saying they're all thieves or murderers or anything like that. But remember this. The kind of guy who, let's say a guy who's going to go special forces like Clay Martin and wants to go be a Green Beret. That kind of a guy. Is he a patriot? Yeah, no doubt. He's a patriot. However, he does not have patriotism at the forefront of his mind when he's on his 30th mile that day on a brutal ruck where his feet are about to fall off and he hasn't slept in 3 days. He's starving. He's not thinking about America. He's not thinking about patriotism. That type of guy is thinking, am I tough enough? You'll never make me quit. I'd rather die. He wants to see what he's made of. And then he wants to do cool things. Hey, why'd you join the SWAT team? Because I want to rappel off of a roof and shoot somebody with an MP5. That's why I joined the SWAT team. Hey, why'd you go be a Green Beret? Just because you love America? Nope. I love America. I wanted to jump out of planes with night vision goggles on. I wanted to be that guy. And that type of guy, everyone I've ever met has a little criminal in them. There's a little of that in all those guys. And when I say a little criminal, I mean, they're rule breakers generally. They are. I read a book, wonderful book, by a really, really great book called Killing Pablo. Killing Pablo. It's about the hunting of Pablo Escobar and the eventual death of Pablo Escobar down in Colombia. Great book. Easy read, too. It's a true account of, it's not fictional, a true account of what went down. And Delta Force, I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's out there now. Delta Force was down there and intimately involved, I'll put it that way, in the hunt for Pablo Escobar, working with the Colombian government trying to hunt down this Pablo Escobar guy. And there's a little segment in the book where they talk about Delta Force starting to get into trouble, starting to carouse with the local women to the point there are Colombian women showing up to the base with little redheaded babies. And there's a redheaded soldier who has to stand up and say, yeah, probably mine. Why are they getting into trouble? Not enough stuff for them to do. Highly trained, highly ambitious, type A men. They're going to go find things to do. And it's not always repainting the local church. It's just not. I don't care that somebody bet on himself and bet on success. I do understand that it is a crime and he's going to be prosecuted, but... And I understand what I'm about to say is kind of lame, but it really does, it gets to me. The insider trading of Congress is well documented. We have members of Congress, Republican and Democrat, who constantly beat the best traders on the planet with their revenues. How do they do that? They do that because they have insider knowledge that you don't have and I don't have, and they go bet on things. By the way, I haven't talked about it, but this is happening inside of the Trump White House. Multiple times they've been tracking things, bets that have, essentially bets in the market that have been made right before Trump makes a statement on something that make people in the White House a lot of money. It bothers me. If we're going to throw the handcuffs on a soldier because he did what every other scumbag in Washington does, it bothers me a great deal. Was it a dumb thing to do? I mean, buddy, you just pocketed 400 grand. You think they're not going to track that? Of course they're getting, you moron. It was a dumb thing to do. I got it. I understand. It is a crime. I get all that. Was it bad OPSEC, operational security? Of course it was. I don't care. Let the man go. You want to take his 400 grand away from him? I get all that. Let the man go. Nancy Pelosi's been insider trading for about 80 decades. That's how long I think she's been in Washington. Sorry, I'm not interested in taking down a soldier for doing what every other dirtball does. All right? Questions. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. My goodness, I have so much I want to get to tonight because your questions are freaking amazing. So let's tackle it, shall we? Captain Soft Serve, the guy says. With the data centers being well documented how bad they are for local surroundings, why are states fighting for them? Who gets paid? They don't generate lots of local long-term jobs. His name is Steve. And by the way, he references that he's in Texas. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Steve, because this is a perfect example, although this takes place all across the country, especially in red states. If nobody wants a data center near them, going to wreck a bunch of things, gobble up a bunch of power, it's not going to create a bunch of local jobs. If the people themselves don't want it, why is it happening and happening rapidly? And why do especially red state governors court these things? Here's why. We've had this discussion about other people before about living in a bubble and whatnot. But remember, people in power, everybody doesn't have access to them. Everybody does not. Texas, for example. The governor in Texas, his name is Greg Abbott. I don't know if you're from here, but it's Greg Abbott. That's the governor of Texas. Now, there is a chance that maybe I could get a hold of Greg Abbott if I wanted to. But you couldn't. You can't talk to him. You can't email him. And by the way, if you could talk to him, here would be the circumstances. He'd be doing a campaign rally or a political event somewhere or some photo op in a diner somewhere. And you'd get to shake his hand and take a selfie for Instagram. But you wouldn't get to actually sit down with him and plead your case for things. Hey, Greg, I don't want a data center right next to me. What are you talking about? My power bill's going up. No, you will not have that opportunity. You know who does? Large donors, large industries, lobbying and lobbyists. It's something that really bothers everybody, and understandably so. When you go look at the amount of money people spend lobbying, and it's countries lobby, industries lobby, individual companies lobby, they dedicate millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars on making a pitch for handouts, basically. A pitch for something. And those people who spend that kind of money, they get a private audience with Greg Abbott. They go to that $50,000 a plate fundraiser at someone's Texas mansion where there's only 25 of them there, and it's not some glad-handing photo op. Greg Abbott's going to sit there in the living room and have a couple glasses of bourbon. I don't know if he drinks, but he's going to sit there in the living room and have a couple glasses of bourbon. And the people in that room, they can talk to him about anything they want in a genuine way. And I bring this up because of this dumb job I have now, which I can't believe I have this job. It's such a blessing. I've been in these situations before. I have sat there and watched The last one I went to, I sat and watched a very powerful politician here in the United States of America lay waste to two bottles of wine by himself and clear out a Supreme Pizza with all of his friends around a fire in the open air, talking about everything from politics to legislation to football to where the kids are going. Now, that's an audience you don't ever get. But rich, powerful people do, and stupid radio hosts. Rich, powerful people get that audience. The reason so many things happen that you don't want is people with access to the powerful people want them, and the powerful people don't care enough about you to listen. They care about the bottom line. You'll see these red state governors. I brought up Abbott. I'll go ahead and call him out because he does it all the time. But all the red state governors do. It's not just him. He'll brag about, you know, Apple is moving their headquarters to Texas, and they're bringing 5,000 jobs. And someone digs into it and they look at it. Wait a minute. Like 4,900 of those are foreigners. What are you? And they're all Democrats. What? How is this a benefit to us? But you know what? When you're the governor, you get to brag about all that tax revenue coming in, the jobs, those jobs. Boy, they make you sound like you're a jobs guy, right? We got jobs coming in, jobs here and jobs there. We got jobs for you. No, they're not going to hire you. Not you, an American. They're not interested in that. They're going to go hire whoever's been lobbying them. There is a huge, huge disconnect in this country, and I've brought it up before. It's very, very similar to the final decades of the Roman Republic, where the elites were so insulated from the civilians, from the regular Roman citizens, that they would just do thing after thing after thing after thing to abuse the citizens. And the citizens kept getting madder and madder and madder and madder about it, of why won't you listen? Why is it everything you do benefits you and doesn't benefit me? And we are really in that situation in this country. We really are. It's really bad. It's terrible. It's terrible how often they serve themselves. Because the truth is, you want and I want political leaders who care a lot more about you than billionaire in the living room after two bottles of wine. But that is not the world we have right now, and that's the world I want. So we got to get louder. We have to show up in primaries and punish these scumbags. We got work to do, all right? All right. Let's move on and talk about other things. Someone wants to talk about me. It's one of my favorite topics, but we're not going to do that just yet. We're going to talk about Democrat politicians. Are the two parties fake? All that, so much more to come on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. And here's something wonderful. One super agency that handles all your insurance needs. I know you have more than one policy as a business owner. I know you do. Of course you do. You have to. You have more than one policy. And I know something else. The policies you have, policies, plural, they're not tailor-made for your business. Your insurance company, I bet you money this. I bet you they never even did an assessment on what your business is worth. Am I right about that? That's why you're overinsured in some areas. That's why you're underinsured in other areas. And that's why SuperSure is here to take care of everything for you. Everything. No more multiple people you have to call. Nope. One super agency handles all of it. One powerful platform. They'll get you the right kind of insurance for all your insurance needs. You just deal with SuperSure. Let them handle everything else. Go to supersure.com/Jesse. SuperSure.com/Jesse. Paid for by SuperSure Insurance Agency, LLC, a licensed insurance agency. Someone wants to ask about the Iranians. Next.
Jesse Kelly.
I don't want the Michigan hand after your August primary. I want the Michigan fist. I want that Michigan fist.
Jesse. Do you think that the hardship forced upon the Iranians will cause them to see the error in their beliefs or make them hate the West and the Jews even more? I think that part of the world is so behind and barbaric, they won't see the lesson in this humiliation. They're too far gone. It just depends. And remember, the Iranians, it's not a monolith. There are all kinds of Iranian people who want to be free of that tyrannical regime. the tyrannical regime is the one with all the guns, and they've been torturing and murdering and butchering everybody who stands up against them. And the question will always come back to, can you hurt those people? Have we hurt those people enough to force them to make a deal? I saw all the news from earlier today that we're sending, you know, Stephen Jarrett, of course, over there again for more talks and things. Who knows? Again, it's just a time to pray. Hey, Jesse. One of the two parties is pretty much fake. It's been this way my whole life. I'm tired of voting for a fake party. Am I wrong? And he says, it seems the difference is Democrat politicians believe in what they campaign for. Republican politicians do not believe in what they campaign for. So is one party fake? Some of them. Some of them. So, a couple things. I'm going to play you something. This is Secretary of War Pete Hegseth.
What we've undertaken at this department is a historic Afghanistan review. So we have, over the course of months, reviewed what happened leading up to and including the events at Abbey Gate and the disastrous withdrawal in Afghanistan. There's never actually been a full accounting in this department of the decisions that were made. There's been sort of papered over congressional attempts, but never a real deep dive where we brought everybody in to talk about what happened and why it happened. That has happened. That review will come later this summer, and I think you'll find it to be probably the most comprehensive review this department has ever done.
What the Biden administration did with the Afghanistan withdrawal and the betrayal of our warriors at Abbey Gate, and then we incinerated 9 innocent Afghanis, there's never been an accounting of that. And in fact, the Biden administration, if you remember correctly, covered it up as fast as humanly possible, covered it up, let it go. We did a review. We decided everything was good to go, and we're moving on. If we hadn't won an election in November, that accounting would never come. Would never come, ever. Play something else. This is Harmeet Dhillon about illegal voters.
I'm suing 29 states and the District of Columbia for their refusal to give us the voter rolls. We're doing that to make sure that states are in compliance. And guess what? States are not in compliance, even those ones who want to. So for the ones that we've run so far, 60 million records that we've run, we found at least 350,000 dead people currently on the voter rolls in those jurisdictions. And we've referred approximately 25,000 people with no citizenship records to the to Homeland Security to look at, dig into that further and see the extent to which people voted.
Democrats keep dead people on the voter rolls so Democrats can cheat in elections. They get them ballots and they have them vote for Democrats. Democrat operatives fill out ballots for them. It's called ballot harvesting. It happens, well, anywhere where there's Democrat control. Democrats will find dead voters and make sure they vote Democrat. It's an old joke, but it's also quite true. Because we elected Donald Trump in November, we are cleaning some of that out. I know that you have frustrations. I understand full well. I know you have frustrations. I know the Trump administration has obviously not been perfect. No administration is. And I have loud complaints that I have voiced to you time and time again. And it's fine that you voice them. Let's not get so despondent that we can't see wins we have gotten. We can talk about the losses. We can talk about the things we're displeased with. We can and we should. That's your right. You're not a subject. You're a citizen. You are not a subject. You are a free citizen, free to criticize anybody, Republican, Democrat, Trump, I don't care who it is, free. But let's not act like we got nothing and we're getting nothing. Negative net migration. I am 44 years old, never in my life, 44 years I've lived in this country, never have we had negative net migration in my 44 years on the planet, not one time. That's an insane statistic, by the way, that we've never had that, but nevertheless, we have it right now. But we need more deportations. We do. But the Trump administration's backing off a little. Yes, and that's a disgrace, and it's sad, and we're going to yell, and we're going to scream, we're going to try to get those turned back up. Let's not act like we got nothing. You know who the Secretary of War would be? Some dirty tranny is who it would be. Do you know what would be happening in this country if Dome had won the election? They'd have already imported another 10 million dirty foreigners. You can't imagine the horrors they would have done, as we've discussed many times before, all the plans they have for what they're going to do if they ever take power again.
The Democrats win the presidency in both houses of Congress, I think, on day one. They should make Puerto Rico, D.C. a state, and they should expand the Supreme Court to 13. F*** it, eat our dust. The only way to fight this is don't run on it, don't talk about it, just do it.
That's not happening right now because we won an election in November. Is the Republican Party fake? Well, there are elements of it that, of course, are. You know, there's the Maria Salazar.
You serve your country. You're a soldier. You're in the military.
It's Friday. I'm in a good mood. I don't want to listen to her stupid voice. There are the Maria Salazars. There's the Don Bacons. There's the Mitt Romney types, Mitch McConnell. Yes, there are all kinds of fake, controlled opposition Republicans. There's no question about it. Republicans are significantly better than Democrats. They just are. They are. They are significantly better. Republicans, yep, they're going to give Democrats a little boost in destroying the country. They are. But Democrats are going to take destroying the country and put it into overdrive as fast as they possibly can. Let's not act like they're both the same. They're not. Winning in November mattered. We are getting some things. When you get too down, focus on some good. All right? Massive mitts, this guy says. His subject is, how often do politicians get recognized? I was exiting the SkyTrain at Miami Airport earlier, and I saw a tall white guy getting in the SkyTrain at the same time. I immediately recognized this person as Senator Tom Cotton. As I exited and turned around and asked, are you Tom Cotton? He politely smirked and said, yeah. I replied, I'm Alex, nice to meet you. Then I took off because I was in a hurry to catch my flight. I'm curious, during your two failed attempts at congressional runs, you didn't have to throw that in there, did you ever get recognized in public? How often do you think members of Congress get recognized in the general public? Well, yes, I did get recognized when I was running, but not until we started running TV commercials. Remember how few of us political people there actually are. People just don't pay that much attention to politics. They don't. And it's insanely sad. And I wish they did. That's a source of frustration for me and you. I know it is, but they don't. You guarantee you know who your congressman is. You know what? That's easy. Set that aside. I guarantee you can name your two senators. You probably just did something like, well, yeah. You're a minority. I bet you might. If you don't believe me, I got a little experiment for you. Don't be creepy about this, but if you're out in public, whatever, restaurant, mall, maybe you're going to T-ball this weekend, I want you, 10 people, I want you to ask them to name the two United States senators from your state. 10 people. And then tell me how many got it right. They get recognized not near as often as you think. You know who Tom Cotton is and what Tom Cotton looks like because you pay attention. Most people simply don't. And by the way, when I was running for Congress, I never ever got recognized outside of my district. I got recognized by the people who saw me on a television commercial that night. That was it. That's it. It's nothing special. It's a very tiny kind of famous. I'll put it that way. A tiny kind of famous. Do you have a burner launcher yet? Your children need one. Your parents need one. You need one in your house. You need one in your car. And you most definitely should have one with you. When you are out at the mall, do you have your burner launcher? At T-ball this weekend, do you have your burner launcher? When you're out for a little jog, burner launcher. Legal in all 50 states. It shoots tear gas balls or pepper balls. You want to stop a pit bull? Burn a launcher. You want to stop a rapist? Burn a launcher. Save your life. And this thing is the size of a freaking smartphone. Carry it on you. Please don't just buy it. Buy it and carry it. It'll save your freaking life one day. I mean, I hope it doesn't have to, but it will. BYRNA. Byrna.com, or you can go try one out before you buy it at Sportsman's Warehouse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email us. We're sitting here live as always. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Sir, small hands. It's not nice. In light of a heavy week, I wanted to ask a different question I've never heard you speak of before. Are you a fan of the BAR? BAR being a Browning automatic rifle. That would be a light machine gun used by the infantry in World War II, by the way. This guy goes on and says, I understand that letting the BAR eat is a thing for your show. To be honest, it's one of the first things I heard on the show the very first day. Because I asked because I, too, am a BAR lover. He asked me not to say his name, so I will not. All right. So, yes and no. Let me explain. Like any man over the age of 40, I am in love with World War II and World War II lore. Cannot help it. Something happens to us. But to be fair, I've loved World War II since I was a child. I do. We have a fascination with World War II because it was in many ways one of our peak moments as a country. It's one of those things, if the United States of America has a resume, you're really going to want to kind of feature World War II towards the top of it. You're welcome, world, that kind of thing. And the men who fought it and the equipment they fought it with fascinate us. Certainly fascinates me. Weapons like the M1 Garand, trying to figure out how to way to describe this to civilians. It's a World War II rifle. It came along a little later in World War II, and it's a semi-automatic one. If you've ever watched a World War II movie and you heard that ping when a guy's weapon is out of ammo, that is the clip on an M1 Garand. That is an actual clip, by the way, not a magazine. It's the clip on an M1 Garand when you're out of ammo. The ping lets you know that you're out of ammo and you better load some more rounds. Anyway, I love these World War II weapons. I love the BAR. I love the M1 Garand. I'm fascinated with all of them. I love them. I want to shoot them. However, when it comes to weapons, the advancements in technology being what they are so much worse, those older weapons, than what is available to you today. I like it. I want to own one. I want to shoot one. But if we're talking about a carry weapon, or if we're talking about a weapon you would use maybe for an intruder, Civil War, something like that, you want to leave the BAR at home. That's just the best way I can describe it to you. I did that history series on Rhodesia. Remember, history's coming again, May 4th. I gave you the date. But I did that history series on Rhodesia. And one of the main weapons they used there, it was the main weapon of the Rhodesian military. It was the FAL. The FAL. Maybe you've heard it described as the right arm of democracy or something like that, or the right arm of freedom. But why is it described that way? Because it's what the Rhodesian military was using to kill all the dirty communists. I can't help it. I find it to be, what's a great college boy word, Chris? Aesthetically pleasing. I think it's a beautiful weapon. Beautiful weapon. I've wanted one for years and years and years. So I reached out to, actually, our buddy Clay Martin. You know Clay, the Green Beret, joins us on the show, tells us about all the people he's killed and things like that. So I reached out to Clay. Clay is like my weapons guy. Clay just is one of these guys. He knows everything. Absolutely everything. I am not that guy. Clay is that guy. So when I have a question, when I'm thinking about something, I reach out to Clay. And some years back, I reached out to Clay because I really wanted a 7.62 weapon. I wanted a heavier rifle, okay? I wanted a heavier rifle for body armor purposes. Well, I won't go into all the reasons. I wanted a heavier weapon. I've always wanted an FAL. So I text Clay. Hey, thinking about buying an FAL. Now, Clay is very complimentary of the FAL. Don't get me wrong. He was very complimentary. Yeah, great weapon. I love it. Fantastic. But why? And I said, what do you mean, why? It's a great weapon. Do you know the history? No, he knew all that. He's like, yeah, it is. It was a great weapon back in the 1980s. Here in this day and age, there have been so many advancements since then. It's not what it was. There's a lot better products out there. You don't want to be that guy, because we all want to live in this nostalgia where, you know, the old stuff is just as good as always. I mean, even the bar. You know what you heard right there is probably, I bet you that's the entire magazine of that bar. If it's not the whole magazine, I bet you it's half. I bet you that's either the whole magazine or half the magazine of the bar. Couldn't even hold that many rounds. Today, an infantry LMG, a machine gun, a heavier machine gun, I'll put it that way. An infantry heavier machine gun, you're going to have a 100-round drum in that thing. You're going to be able to cook for longer. The weapon's going to be lighter. It's going to be more accurate. It's going to be, we don't like that. We don't like that, but weapons advance so quickly. I just went to that big gun show, the NRA. The NRA is doing a bunch of cool stuff, training schools to be safer and stuff like that. So I was impressed by that, and they asked me if I would come up and go to their big gun show they had here in town. And I like to try to stay fairly up to date on weapons. There were so many things there. I mean, it's a good thing I didn't bring my credit cards, I'll tell you that much. I know, Chris. Ob even tried, she even gave me the side eye on the way out the door. She said, you're going to come home with something. I know it. And, all right, I lied. I did bring my credit cards, and I did buy a few things at the gun show. A few things. Nothing, yes, Chris. Yeah. I didn't tell you yet, did I? I'll tell you off the air. All right, I'll tell you on the air. I bought a SIG MGX Rattler. SIG MGX Rattler. Suppressed the works. All right, stop. I need to go. We'll be back with two more hours. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.